ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती श्रीमद्भागवतम फिफ्थ कैंटो चैप्टर 13 रहुगणा कन्वर्सेस विद जय भारत। Text 18. Oh, I'm sorry. 19. Hi, God. How are you? Ataha kathanchi sa vimukta apadaha punash cha sartham pravishati arindama adhvanni amusha amusmin ajay I'm sorry, Amushmin, Ajaya, Niveshito, Brahman, Jano, Adhyapi, Na, Veda, Kashchana. अथो कथञ्चित् स विमुक्त आपदः पुनश्च सार्धं प्रविशत्तरिन्दम अद्धन् अद्धन्नमुष्मिन् न जया निवेशितो भ्रमन् जनोद्यापि न वेद कश्चन अथो कथ कथो कथञ्चित् स विमुक्त आपदः पुनश्च सार्धं प्रविशत्तरिन्दम अद्धन्यमुष्मिन् न जया निवेशितो भ्रमन् जनद्यापि न वेद कश्चन अथो कथञ्चित् स विमुक्त आपदः पुनश्च सार्धं प्रविशत्तरिन्दम अद्धन्नमुष्मिन् न जया निवेशितो भ्रमन् जनद्यापि न वेद कश्चन अतः
Therefore,
I'm sorry, from this, kathanchit, somehow,
saw,
he,
vimuktaha,
liberated,
apadaha,
from the danger, punascha,
again,
saw artham,
taking interest in that life,
pravishati,
begins,
Arindama, O King,
killer of the enemies,
Adhvani,
on the path of enjoyment,
Amushmin,
that,
Ajaya,
by the influence of the illusory energy,
Niveshitaha,
being absorbed,
Brahman,
Brahman.
Traveling.
Traveling.
Janaha.
Janaha.
The unconditioned soul.
Adhyapi.
Even up to death.
Even up to death.
Na-veda.
Na-veda.
Does not understand.
Does not understand.
Kashchana.
Kashchana.
Anything.
Anything.
Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. O killer of enemies, Maharaj Rahugana, if the conditioned soul somehow or other gets out of this dangerous position, he again returns to his home to enjoy sex life, for that is the way of attachment. Thus, under the spell of the Lord's material energy, he continues to loiter in the forest of material existence. He does not discover his real interest, even at the point of death. Please repeat after me. O killer of enemies,
O killer of enemies,
Maharaj Rahugana,
Maharaj Rahugana,
if the conditioned soul,
if the conditioned soul,
somehow
or other,
gets out of the dangerous position,
gets out of the dangerous position,
he again returns to his home,
he again returns to his home,
to enjoy sex life,
to enjoy sex life,
for that is the way of attachment,
for that is the way of attachment.
Thus, under the spell of the Lord's material energy,
under the spell of the Lord's material energy,
he continues to loiter, in the forest of material existence. He does not discover his real interest, even at the point of death. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This is the way of material life. When one is captured by sexual attraction, he becomes implicated in so many ways and cannot understand the real aim of life. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam says, Nate vidu swartha gatim hi Vishnu. Generally, people do not understand the ultimate goal of life. As stated in the Vedas, Om tad Vishnu paramam padam sada pashyanti shurayaha. Those who are spiritually advanced simply look to the lotus feet of Vishnu. The conditioned soul, however, not being interested in reviving his relationship with Vishnu, becomes captivated by material activities and remains in the everlasting bondage, being misled by so-called leaders. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sakra Jatam Sahaganam Raghunatham Nitam Tvam Sajivam Sadvetam Sadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahaganam Lalita Shri Vishakam Nitam He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagat Pate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Mangushtipu Takta Kanchana Vayamiri Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vrishabhanu Sukhedevi Pranamami Hayate Vancha Kalpa Taru Vascha Kripa Sindhu Bhaye Vacha Patitana Pavaneko Vaishnavekyo Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivashti Bhagavatam Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Atho kacha katho katham chitsa vimukta apadaha Punascha shartham pravishat tarindama Adhan namushmin ajaya niveshito Brahman Jano Abdapi Naveda Kashchana. O killer of enemies, Maharaj Rahugana, if the conditioned soul somehow or other gets out of his dangerous position, He again returns to his home to enjoy sex life, for that is the way of attachment. Thus, under the spell of Lord's material energy, he continues to loiter in the forest of material existence. He does not discover his real interest even at the point of death. So King Rahugana meets Jarabharat. Jarabharat was pretending to be Jara, to be devoid of intelligence. He was pretending to be in a very, as a retarded person. And although his intelligence was apparently maimed, but physically he was very strong. And anyway, so in course of time, he comes across King Rahugana. And Rahugana considered him to be an ordinary palanquin carrier, carrying his palanquin. And when he started to chastise him for his inappropriate action, when he was chastising him for not carrying his palanquin properly, then finally Jarabharat opened his mouth. This actually shows that Jarabharat wanted to bestow his mercy on King Rahugana. All this while, Jarabharat was pretending to be physically, or rather mentally retarded, mentally maimed. But when Jarabharat finally opened his mouth, then King Rahugana could see that this person was situated in such wisdom, spiritual wisdom, transcendental knowledge. And so eventually Jarabharat gave King Rahugana the ultimate spiritual guidance. He assumed the role of a spiritual master, and he imparted the knowledge to King Rahugana. And in this verse, he is actually pointing out that even though a living entity, when he faces distressful situation, even when a man faces a distressful situation and he develops some kind of detachment and he tries to get away from that distressful condition, but that situation doesn't last for very long. He goes away, but again he comes back. Again he comes back to his household situation. And Prabhupada this verse clearly says he again returns to his home to enjoy sex life. So this is the root cause of one's bondage to this material nature. Just by being averse to the material condition or distressful material condition is not enough to become completely free from material bondage. Because the sex desire is so strong, that sex impulse for a living entity is so strong due to the illusory energy, as it has been pointed out, due to the illusory energy of the Lord, that it is practically impossible to get rid of it. Mama Maya Durattaya. It is impossible. Durattaya. But the secret actually is to get the higher taste. The only way one can be freed from material attachment, one can be free from sex desire, is simply by getting the higher taste. In one hand, material attachment is so strong, it is practically impossible to overcome. But at the same time, there is a way to get out of this material attachment, and that is by getting the higher taste. Higher taste means Krishna consciousness. Higher taste means devotional service. Higher taste means developing the love for Krishna. Because that taste is so much more joyful that the pleasure derived out of sex life simply appears to be insignificant. Not only insignificant, it appears to be disgusting. As King Kulashekhara said, Bhavanti Mukha Vikaro Nishthi Vanaja Jadavadhi Mamacheta Krishna Padara Vinde. Ever since my mind has been attached to Krishna's lotus feet, whenever I think of sex life, my lips curl in disgust and I spit at the thought. So that is the natural level. The higher taste, the taste for Krishna consciousness is so wonderful that any other taste derived from the material involvement appears to be completely disgusting. In this respect, I was remembering during one of my first encounters with Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada told me that he just started to speak. He said, just offer this life to Krishna. And then he explained what it actually meant. And Prabhupada explained that this material nature is the prison house of sex desire. Maithuna agaro. Maithuna means sex life and agaro means prison house. This material nature is maithuna agaro. In a prison, in a regular prison, one is chained down. Hare Krishna. Jai Shri Shri Radha Radha Krishna Ki. Jai Shri Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharaj Ki. Jai Shri Shri Gaunitai Ki. So then, Prabhupada explained to me that that just as in the material, in a regular prison, one is tied down with a chain. But in this material nature, living entities are tied down with sex desire. That is the chain. And then Prabhupada explained that as long as one has sex desire, one cannot become free from material bondage. So it's impossible. This is a very subtle bondage. Like, subtle bondage means it is very difficult to detect and it's very difficult to overcome. We cannot unchain, we can open the lock and open the chain and free ourselves. But this chain is in the heart. This bond, the sex desire, is in the heart. Like, comes in the form of, what is the sex desire actually? The attraction for the opposite sex. That attraction is deep down in the heart. That is, with the, not with the soul, but with the subtle body. The subtle body is attracted to the opposite sex. And the result, and why this attraction, is the pleasure of that is derived out of sex life, the ultimate sensuous pleasure. And then Prabhupada explained that what is the higher taste? That how one can become free only from this bondage by developing the higher taste. And what is the higher taste? Higher taste is the love for Krishna. Higher taste, something will be experienced. When we develop a loving relationship with Krishna, then something will be experienced. And that experience won't be on the subtle platform. That experience will be experienced in the spiritual plane. The spirit soul will experience. Otherwise, since our consciousness is flowing through the material body, meaning through the material nervous system. Body means our consciousness in the material nature, in this direction, material direction is flowing through the mind. Mind is the medium through which the consciousness is being projected in this direction. And then it flows through the nervous system. Whatever we experience through this body, all the experiences are actually the ultimate culmination of the reception of things through the nerves. All our nerves are ending in five senses: eyes, ears, nose, tongue, and touch. All the nerves are actually ending in that, in these five external senses. And through them we try to derive pleasure, because jivas are anandamaya, jivas are full of joy. But because the consciousness is flowing in the material direction, the living entities are trying to enjoy through material experiences. The contact between the objects of the senses with the senses. Or the contact of these senses with the objects. Dhayate Vishayan Pumsha, as Krishna pointed out in Bhagavad Gita. Vishayan, what is the Vishay? Vishay means the objects of the senses. Dhayate, what is running? The consciousness. How it's running? It is running through this body. In the body, how it's running? First through the mind, the brain center. And then from the brain center, the system expands, the spinal column. It extends through nerves, different nerves. And the nerve endings are in five senses. All our nerves are ending in these five senses. And through that we are trying to derive the pleasure. And of all the pleasures, the sex life derived out of touch senses is considered to be the most acute. Of sensual pleasure, and the living entities are attracted to that pleasure. But actually it is a bondage. With that desire, sex desire, everyone is tied down to the material nature. Therefore material nature has been described as a prison house of sex desire. And then Prabhupada pointed out that this sex desire is actually the perverted reflection of the joy one derives out of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness developing his loving relationship, loving exchanges with Krishna. When a living entity develops his relationship with Krishna, this relationship is not just some sentimental thing. That relationship is not an artificial thing. That relationship is real. A jiva, a living entity, experiences a loving exchange with Krishna. A living entity loves Krishna. Jiva, a devotee, loves Krishna. Krishna responds to that love. Krishna reciprocates that love. And a loving exchange actually takes place. And the joy that one derives, and that is the real joy, ananda. Jivas are Satchidananda. Just as Krishna is Satchidananda, jivas are also minute Satchidananda. Jivas in a minute way are experiencing ananda. And that ananda is derived by developing that loving relationship with Krishna. And this, the joy that one derives out of sex life is a perverted reflection of that joy. So it's a perverted reflection. It gives an impression. It gives a promise. It shows a possibility of the joy. But actually there is no joy. Chapala sukha lava lagive. Chapala. Lava. That flickering sukha or happiness or delight or joy experienced for 1/11th part of a second. But in Krishna consciousness, that is endless, that's eternal. There is no end of that experience of that joy. So that is why when one experiences that, then there is no possibility of being attracted to the perverted reflection. You are very hungry. And there is a reflection of a beautiful apple. Now, will the reflection satisfy your hunger? Like you, no matter how much you try to get that apple out of that reflection, will you ever get that apple? No. But, since it's a reflection, in reality it must be existing somewhere. So let's find out what is the origin of that reflection. Where is the real apple existing? Then you go to the tree, you go to the real tree, you pick the apple and you satisfy your hunger. When you eat the apple, your hunger will automatically be satiated. So that is what Krishna consciousness is providing. In course of the discussion, Prabhupada actually, it was the beginning only, Prabhupada mentioned, that see, for so many lifetimes you are trying to enjoy, but you are still not satisfied. Like for life after life, for so many lifetimes you are trying to enjoy. But everyone, we can see, no one is satisfied. Why? Because in reality it is not there. That is how we must use our intelligence and figure out that it is not there. The joy, the happiness that we are trying to experience in this material nature through all our materialistic endeavors will never be satisfied. It hasn't been satisfied for so many lifetimes, and therefore it will never be satisfied in the future. The only solution to this problem, or only reality of this experience of joy, will come when we develop our relationship with Krishna. And then at the end, Prabhupada just told me that even if there is nothing, even if nothing happens through this endeavor, it's just one lifetime. What's the loss? Just one lifetime. Out of so many lifetimes, even if it goes to waste, what's the loss? And I feel very fortunate that Srila Prabhupada so mercifully explained that practically at the beginning of my spiritual life. And also, in order to close the door behind me, Srila Prabhupada gave me sannyas after 2.5 months. Shut the door behind me. No way to go back. So as it has been saying, that one develops some aversion to materialistic endeavor for sense gratification. And when all his endeavor for sense gratification is foiled, then he becomes disheartened, he becomes frustrated, and he gives it up. But he can't give it up for long. He comes back again to home for sex life. Because the sex desire, impulses of sex desire is so strong, that one cannot remain in that situation of renunciation unless and until one comes to Krishna consciousness. And Krishna consciousness provides the higher taste. Now I know there are many of you are in the household situation. Now am I blaspheming the household situation? No. It's not that. It's just, it doesn't matter whichever situation we are in. Our goal of life is to conquer six desires. The householders do that in a certain way. Brahmacharis and sannyasis will do it in some other way. I know many of you, before getting married, you asked me whether you should get married. I said, yes, go ahead. And the reason I suggested that you go ahead getting married, because the environment in this material nature is so alluring. The whole arrangement, the material energy has become very, very powerful here, especially in the Western world. And what does the material energy do? Material energy induces one to get involved in sex life. Provokes one into that, allures him into that. So when you are living in the West, you are, for whatever reason, that now that you are in the West, it will be very difficult to lead a brahmachari life, especially unless and until you are in a 24-hour temple situation. Therefore, those who are not in a position to be in a temple 24 hours a day, it's better to get married. The Prabhupada himself said, it's like fighting from a castle, Durga, a fort. Household life in this material nature gives the protection from the allurements of Maya, onslaughts of Maya. And in this way, go through life. Doesn't matter whether you're brahmachari, whether you're a householder, whether you're a sannyasi, whether you're a vanaprastha. Go through your life. But remember, the only way to overcome sex desire is by developing a loving relationship with Krishna. That means, utilize this opportunity that you got in this human form of life to develop your Krishna consciousness. Develop your relationship with Krishna. Develop your love for Krishna. Your heart wants to love somebody, really wants to love somebody. Now offer that love to Krishna. That is what Krishna consciousness is actually teaching us. The process of Krishna consciousness is to develop that love for Krishna. The love that you have in your heart, just offer it to Krishna. And you will see how Krishna reciprocates. It's not that you have to love Krishna. Krishna already loves you. When somebody loves you already, is it difficult to love that person? He already loves you. But that love is incomplete because you are not responding, because we are not responding to that love. Krishna says, look, I love you. We don't even hear. Krishna screams, I love you. We don't hear. But someday if we hear and respond, oh Krishna, you love me, I love you too. Then how will Krishna respond? I'm sure all of you have some sort of experiences of loving relationship. How do you feel when the person you love doesn't respond? And then someday when that person responds, then how do you feel? So that's how Krishna is going to react when we offer our love to Krishna, when we say, Krishna, I love you. Maybe we do not even know how to love. But even if we say, Krishna, I love you, Krishna will embrace us. And then we will get to know what love actually is. So this is how simple, this is how natural Krishna consciousness or this loving relationship with Krishna is. And that's why we all are here. We all are here in Krishna consciousness movement. We all are here in ISKCON simply to develop that loving relationship with Krishna. And Prabhupada is showing us the way how to do that. And it's not at all difficult. We simply have to make the right gesture in the right direction. Right, make the right approach in the right direction. If we do that, it will automatically happen. And it is not what we are saying. Here we are saying, Bhagavatam is saying. Bhagavatam is so clearly giving that idea, understand. That what this material nature is like, what is the consequence of being entangled in this material nature, what is the consequence? What is the natural outcome of being entangled in the material nature? What? Anybody? Suffering. Get entangled in the material nature, you get more and more suffering. Intelligent person recognizes that, unintelligent person doesn't realize that. But the reality is the material nature is a place of suffering. Dukkhalayam ashvashyatam. Or as it has been said, prison house. Does one go to prison to suffer, to enjoy? Does anybody go to the prison to enjoy? Or should anyone try to enjoy in the prison? Or should he try to get out of the prison? And he has to know what's the way to get out of the prison. And the formula or the process has been given by Srila Prabhupada. How to get out of this prison. And experience an endless joy by developing our relationship with Krishna and by being transported to the spiritual sky. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Does anybody have any question or comment? Yes?
Hare Krishna. As long as we are in the temple, as long as we are listening to nice class, it's very easy to keep the level high, the consciousness, to agree with everything, say yes, this is it. But the moment we go away, we go to our work situations, our home, at least personally for myself, I am speaking, it's so hard, I feel so depressed when I'm surrounded by all the things that are around me, just the world in general and the situation, and how we can keep up that same level of Krishna consciousness.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. To begin with, material nature, the influence of the material nature is very, very alluring, very degrading. Right? That is the material nature is like. Like what you are saying, that when you go out there, your consciousness becomes degraded, right? Whereas when you are in the temple, it is so easy. Why? Because you are having the right association, you are having an opportunity to develop your relationship with Krishna. Therefore, this atmosphere is so uplifting. That's your point. The atmosphere in the temple is so uplifting. Atmosphere outside is so degrading. What to do? If possible, try to have as little to do with the outside world. Right? And try to do as much as possible with the temple. Shouldn't that be the first consideration? The common sense consideration. And then try to create a situation when you can be always in the temple and not go to the outside world, so that you can eventually be situated on the spiritual platform permanently. Now, maybe it is not possible for the time being. Are you married? You're married. You have children? So I can understand. Had you been alone, had you been single, then you could have done so many things. You could have joined the temple full time. You could have ideally gone to Mayapur or Vrindavan. But the thing is, since it's not possible, The advice will be, try to make the best out of a bad bargain. You have to be in the material, in that world. What can be done? You have to be there. Therefore, try to create a spiritual atmosphere as much as possible, and try to remain in that atmosphere as much as possible, and try to be absorbed in that atmosphere as much as possible. Right? Thank you. Yes?
Thank you for giving us models to get a very practical class. Yeah. Always we are fighting how we can get out from the prison. So that is why you and Prabhupada gave us shelter with the lotus feet. So my question is, we are in the Mothunagar, we are in the prison, and we are, you are so merciful, that is why you gave us guide how we can get out from the prison. That is why we became a devotee, and we got initiation. And always we are experiencing Krishna consciousness, so you are guiding how we can get out, but still, This question is related to Mataji's question. Still, personally myself, also some other devotees, in this very openly I am telling, we cannot get out from the prison. Always we are experiencing Krishna consciousness, but still, you know, when we get chance, we try to fulfill our like sex desire.
Yeah.
And it's very difficult and very
okay, good point. My response to that will be, you see, when it is a matter of getting out of the prison, you cannot get out yourself. You surrender to the king and the king will take out of the prison. Right? So the way to get out of the prison is by surrendering to Krishna. And leave it up to him how he will take you out of the prison. Okay? We are in the material nature, and if we practice the process of Krishna consciousness properly, then Krishna will, in course of time. And you know, when is the ultimate point of getting out of the prison? The ultimate point of the prison, getting out of the prison, is at the time of death. Therefore, we must prepare ourselves for that moment. When death comes, with what kind of consciousness I am going to leave my body? That should be our meditation. That should be our consideration. When the time of death comes, am I going to think of my material possessions, my attachment, my attraction? Or am I going to think of Krishna? That will be the choice at that time. If we think if by chance we think of any object in the material nature, we have to come. On the other hand, if we can think of Krishna at that time, that means our mind should be absorbed only in Krishna and Krishna consciousness. Then there is no looking back. That's what we have to practice. Am I ready? If death comes now, what am I going to do? Did you ever think? Did you ever think that someday you have to die? Did you ever think that death can come at any moment? What if death comes now? What should be our consciousness? We have to think of Krishna. We have to say, Krishna, okay, I'm ready. That should be our attitude. That is the thing that we are actually practicing in Krishna consciousness. If death comes now, am I ready? Yes, I am. Nothing to look back. No? Krishna, I'm ready to go with you. So that is what we have to practice, and that is how we have to prepare. Yes. Hello.
Thank you, Guru Maharaj. As you mentioned that how Krishna loves us so much, so my question was that how can we actually experience Krishna in our life, and how can we experience that Krishna
okay.
in ourselves?
Okay. You're very hungry. Right? You're very hungry. And there is some food. Did you ever think who gave you the food? Okay, what the food is prepared from? Some vegetables, some. Now look at some vegetables. There is a cabbage. How did the cabbage come? A small little seed fell on the ground. It sprouted into a seedling, and then it grew, and then eventually it turned into a cabbage. Or you have some banana. Like a small little tree grew into, and then the banana is growing out of that. Now who made this arrangement? Why did he do that? Why Krishna went out of his way to make all these arrangements for a seed to turn into a fruit through a tree, or make all the other arrangements, you know? Because he loves us. Because he loves you. You're very thirsty and there's a bottle of water. Right? Who gave this water? This water is actually... There is a lot of water in the ocean. Can you drink that water? 3/4 of the planet is actually water. But can you drink that water, ocean water? No. But look, such a wonderful arrangement. The sun's rays or heat is causing the water to evaporate. Distillation. Right? It evaporates. It forms into cloud. Then the wind makes it, disperses it to different parts. And then it condenses and comes out as pure water, distilled water. Pure H2O. Who made this arrangement? Why did he do that? Okay, you need air. You need air to breathe. But you are taking oxygen and giving out carbon dioxide. If that process continued in this way, then the whole atmosphere would have been filled with carbon dioxide and there wouldn't have been any oxygen there. Did it ever happen? Why not? Because the trees and plants are taking the carbon dioxide and giving out oxygen. Who made this arrangement? And you still think that he doesn't love you? So that is how Krishna loves. That is how we have to literally experience that Krishna loves us. He loves us. Prabhupada said that Krishna loves us so much that if we take one step towards Krishna, then Krishna will take thousands of steps, millions of steps to come and pick us up. He loves us. He loves us much more than we can even imagine. And look at our situation. He loves us so much, but we don't even care for him. See, he is here. So attractive, all attractive. And this personality is the controller of everything. He is the creator of everything. And he is standing here. And he is saying, come, I love you. But we are so deaf that we don't hear that. So it's just a matter of reciprocation. He appeared here in front so that we can see him. And when with all sincerity, we say, Krishna, I love you, then we will see how Krishna is supporting us. Yes.
How to develop from mental platform to spiritual platform? And also question like mental platform, brain, mind, and nervous system all work.
Very
good. But when it's situated in the spiritual platform, how it works?
Very good. So, we have three planes of existence. One is gross bodily platform, the other is the subtle bodily platform, and then the spiritual platform. So the gross body has its duration, 10 years. We are in this gross body for 7 years. Gross body then dies. But the subtle body consisting of mind, intelligence and false ego doesn't have. Subtle body doesn't have. The subtle body rather carries the soul from one body to another body. The mind, intelligence and false ego will not die at the time of death. Rather, that subtle body will carry us to the next body. Now, how? What is the criteria for carrying to the next body? You see, as we act, accordingly the subtle body takes the shape. Say for example, if somebody acts like an angel, then his subtle body, that means, and somebody acts, we say sometimes somebody, he's like an angel. Why do you say that? Because his activities are like that of an angel. And those activities actually will give the shape of his subtle body. According to his activities, the subtle body takes the shape. Sometimes we say that, oh, he is like an animal. Why? Because his activities are like that of an animal. And accordingly, his activities will shape his subtle body. And whatever we do, it has its impression in the subtle body. Like when you do something good, how do you feel? You feel elated. That is how your subtle body becomes affected. When you do something wrong, although no one saw it, how do you feel? You feel bad, you feel heavy, because your subtle body is being affected. So this is how our action affects our subtle body, and it develops its shape. And say in this body, according to our actions, our subtle body is taking its shape. And at the time of death, when we leave this body, the subtle body will carry the soul to an appropriate body. The nature will place the soul, according to the shape of the subtle body, in an appropriate womb. Okay, as I pointed out, the subtle body doesn't die. Subtle body doesn't die, but the subtle body can transform. So we have mind. But when the mind is engaged in serving Krishna, Manmanabhava. When the mind's business is to think. And when you constantly think of Krishna, then what happens? Mind is spiritualized. Then we have intelligence. Tesham shatato yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi chorkantam jena mahapajantiti. One who is constantly engaged in serving Krishna with love and devotion, Krishna is saying that I give him the spiritual intelligence. So this is how you see intelligence is spiritual. And in this way, when one is engaged in serving Krishna, then what happens to his false ego? Jive sarup hai? Now does he have mind, intelligence and false ego? So subtle body is gone. So that is the state of the existence of a pure soul in the body. So that state is called Jivanmukta stage, or stage of Sarup Siddhi. He has achieved his spiritual perfection. That means no subtle body. The pure spirit soul is existing in the body. And then time will come when the body will give up the body. That time the soul, pure spirit soul, will go back to the spiritual sky, and that is called Vastu Siddhi. Sarup Siddhi, as long as the pure soul is in the body, is Sarup Siddhi. But when the soul is free from the bondage of the body, then it is Vastu Siddhi. All right?
Spiritual platform. Like mental platform, sometimes brain, mind and heart and all this world. But when someone is situated in the spiritual platform,
okay.
So how this physiological
thing? Physiologically it will function the same way. The body is there. As long as the body's perception, the senses will be there, and its function will be there. As I mentioned, ultimately all the nerves are ending in the brain center. I'm coming to that. But Krishna consciousness means the real spiritual platform is when you put Krishna in the center. The same way the body may function, but if the functioning of the body through the nervous system, through the mind, through the brain center, if it is for Krishna, it is spiritual. The difference between material and spiritual is very little. When you put yourself in the center, it is material. When you put Krishna in the center, it is spiritual. Right? So, the ultimate spiritual consideration is to put Krishna in the center. As you mentioned, yoga. Yoga is the process by which they learn to put Krishna in the center. Ashtanga yoga. Through the Ashtanga yoga, what they are doing? When they achieve the perfection, samadhi, they see Krishna in the heart as a super soul. So when one sees Krishna, the all-attractive personality, face to face, then what happens to him? He not naturally becomes attracted. So that is the ultimate consideration. The yoga is not the practicing of controlling the nervous system and so. That is the only one aspect of yoga, asana aspect. But then there is pranayama, the breathing control. More important than nervous control, control of nervous system or tuning up the nervous system is the breathing control. And then when one perfects the breathing control through pranayama, then he can detach his mind from the objects of the senses. That is called pratyahara. And after pratyahara, withdrawal, when the senses, when the consciousness has been completely withdrawn from matter, then only the consciousness can be projected onto Krishna in the heart. That is dhyana. Then dharana. And then samadhi. Yes, you have a question?
Yes, Maharaj. It's really encouraging and inspiring to hear about how much Krishna loves us. But how can that be reconciled with what I heard about that Krishna doesn't want to give bhakti because then he has to obey his devotee?
Yeah. Yeah, Krishna doesn't give bhakti. But Krishna's devotees give bhakti abundantly. How did you get your bhakti? Did Krishna come and give you? Huh? Who gave you? Prabhupada's books? Prabhupada's devotees? Right? So, this is how Krishna doesn't give, Krishna doesn't want, although Krishna may not want to give bhakti, but Krishna's devotees go out of their way to give bhakti. And once you get bhakti, then Krishna becomes sold out to you. Okay. Yeah.
I have one question that when we are performing the emotional life, like when we are going to pass from the pure body, that we have death, it depends on like whole package of our spiritual life, like how we are maintaining the standard, depends on particular needs. Or like sometimes with some activity and again coming like that. So,
it's something, you see, like ultimately it is a matter of tuning the consciousness. Tuning the consciousness. Tuning the consciousness means now the consciousness generally for a conditioned soul, the consciousness naturally flows towards the material direction due to his desire and attachment. Right? But what we are doing in ISKCON is we are learning the process of projecting our consciousness to Krishna. Consciousness is now towards matter. But through this process of devotional service, as Prabhupada has given the process, what we are learning? To become Krishna conscious. Right? And when we become Krishna conscious, that means, you see, ultimately it's all a matter of consciousness. Which direction your consciousness is flowing? Is it flowing towards matter? It's flowing towards Krishna. If it's flowing, if its tendency is to flow towards matter, then we're in trouble. At the time of death, we will be thinking of the objects of our attachment. Right? But if it is projected onto Krishna, then at the time of death, who are you going to think of? So that is the simple practice that we are trying to cultivate. Krishna consciousness. consciousness towards Krishna. Yes, Swami?
There are Nitya Shita devotees, like, you know, what happened when they leave this world?
I just explained. The Nitya Siddha means one who has been situated in his spiritual identity. He's a pure spirit soul. You get it? Pure spirit soul means he has become fully Krishna conscious. He is pure. When the soul is pure, what does it do? Only thinks of Krishna. He is attracted to Krishna only, not to anything. So when he leaves the body, now he is free to go back to Krishna.
What happened, like a room or a that Dhruva Maharaj, he went his when he lived,
he went back to Vaikuntha.
With the same body, what? Like, he lived the mental body to the spiritual.
The thing is that, you see, ultimately, with matter will not go to Vaikuntha or spiritual. Matter will never be able to enter. The spiritual world is the world of spirit soul. So only the pure spirit soul will go there. When you go into the spiritual world, do you want to care for the body? Rather, what happens is that his whole existence becomes so spiritualized that that becomes his body. He develops a spiritual body. And the material body, whatever material aspect of it, is left behind. But then again, the pure devotee's body also is spiritual. Like as Prabhupada used to give the example of iron, when it becomes red hot in contact with fire. Is it iron or fire?
Fire.
So this is how a pure devotee's body also becomes spiritual. That's why a pure devotee's body is put into samadhi. Okay, I will stop now. Thank you all very much. All glories to Shri.